gladly while he preaches. I love you. Amen. You can be seated.
Thank God for the wonderful privilege to be here this morning. I'm grateful for how the Lord's already helped my heart in the days of this meeting. Appreciate Brother Steve and Brother Jamie and all the work that goes into having a meeting like this. And pray the Lord will speak to us again. Thank God for the Word of God that's already been proclaimed here this morning. Appreciate these dear men. Look forward to hearing from Brother Tom here in just a moment. Hebrews chapter number 4. If you have your Bibles, we'll look in Hebrews chapter number 4 and read the final three verses of this chapter. Hebrews chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14. The scripture says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly," that means with great confidence, "unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I want to preach out of that 16th verse of what we find when we come to the throne room of God. We find mercy and grace to help in time of need. I want to preach this morning for a few minutes on help in time of need. The phrase that we find here that ends this great chapter, help in time of need, literally has this meaning: well-timed help. It is help that is always when we need it, where we need it, how we need it, and it's administered from the throne room of God. And I was thinking as we approach this book of Hebrews, we come to this realization through the pen of the writer. He says that God spoke in old times by the prophets unto our fathers, but he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. A.W. Pink made this statement. He said he could have spoken to us judge-wise. He could have spoken to us almighty-wise. But he has chosen to speak to us son-wise. He's spoken through his Son. And as I was looking at this passage this morning, I just want to give you a couple of thoughts about this help in time of need. It is two things I want to mention. First, it is help that is biblical. And then it is help that is binding. I'm glad that the Word of God has much to say about help that comes from God. We're in a society that recommends self-help. It tells us to increase our willpower, to reduce our own anxiety, to essentially save ourselves. It tells us to go to parties and sign up for programs. Even some in the religious world would have us believe that God only helps those that help themselves. But Scripture, however, has something else to say. Talks about the help of God in another way. In fact, help is mentioned 126 times throughout the Word of God. Even the psalmist says in Psalm 38 and 40 and 70 and 71 and 141, he says, "Make haste, Lord, to help me." He goes on to say, "Make no tarrying, Lord." In other words, he's saying, "Lord, I need your help and I need it right now. I need it right away." If you've ever found yourself in need of help in this world, maybe you've jumped in a pool and found it over your head, you didn't just say, "Lord, if somebody gets time, come in and help me." No, it just automatically comes out. I need help, and I need it now. I'm glad, thank God, this morning that God has help that is available, and we find it throughout the entirety of the Word of God. You see, in the Old Testament, when men needed help, they called on God, and God came to their rescue. Throughout the New Testament, we find the Lord showing up, breaking up funeral processions. I'm reminded of that widow woman that's taken her little boy. She's headed down the road, and if you study that out just right, you'll find that Jesus was already headed in their direction before the boy ever even died. And I'm glad He knows where you're at, dear friend, and He knows what you need, and He knows what I need. I'm glad for help this morning that is biblical. It's according to the Word of God. I was reading a book just recently by F.W. Borum. He was the last student that was admitted to Spurgeon's preacher school. About 2 weeks after he was admitted, Spurgeon died. But F.W. Borum has written several great books. One I've loved of late is titled A Bunch of Everlastings. And he talks about men and their how God came to where they were when they needed help. He speaks of Charles Spurgeon talking about well-timed help. A snowstorm just happened to come in on that day where Spurgeon was saved. Spurgeon was trying to go to a different church, but found himself on the snowy morning going into a church where the preacher was not even able to make it because of the snowstorm. And in the words of Spurgeon, a poor layman got up, and guess what he did? He read from the precious Word of God, Isaiah 45:22, where Scripture says, "Look unto me and be ye saved." And I'm telling you, Spurgeon testifies of the well-timed help of God. I was reading just this week about George Whitefield. We know what a great, great preacher he was. I believe it was Benjamin Franklin. Somebody studied the voice that was projected from Whitefield in the town square, and they measured that Whitefield's voice without any kind of microphone, any kind of amplification. He could have preached to about 30,000 at any one time. But we come to a place in Whitefield's life before he ever knew God. He was attending Oxford, and at the age of 21, he came to the realization, in his own words, the hideousness and the blackness of his own heart. Whitefield said he tried to appear more grave. He denied himself luxuries, fasted twice a week. He would spend whole nights on his face, on the ground, in the wet grass, trying to get to God. But one day he came across a man by the name of Charles Wesley, who put a book in his hand. That book was titled The Life of God in the Soul of Man by Henry Scougal. And in that book, we find that Whitefield said, "A ray of divine light instantly darted upon my soul when Scougal mentioned that a man must become a new creature. He must be saved. He must be born again." And Whitefield said, "God somehow broke in on him, let him see his need to be saved." The first thing Whitefield did is he went and wrote to his family. He penned to them and said, "There is such a thing as salvation, as becoming a new creature." One of his family members said, "How do you know that? How do you know you've become a new creature?" Whitefield said, "Well," he said, "I'll try to prove that to you just as much as I'll try to prove to you the first creation." He said, "Just look around you. There's a universe." He said, "And I'm telling you, just as sure as there's a universe, God has saved this man." And later on, Whitefield is preaching. A man by the name of Mr. Thorpe, who is in a little club they've put together called the Hellfire Club. They got together during the week just to make fun of preachers. Can you imagine such a thing? Mr. Thorpe said one day they came, and they came to listen to Mr. Whitefield preach. And Mr. Whitefield got up. He turned to the Gospel of Luke, and he said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Mr. Thorpe would take that message and he would go back to the Hellfire Club and he would stand up in a chair and he would make fun of the preacher. But on this day, he went back and he stood up in a chair and he began quoting from the Gospel of Luke. And he said, "Except a man repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And Mr. Thorpe said, "I sat down on the front pew and I wept my way to God." He had fallen under conviction. You say, "What is that?" That's just well-timed help. That is God coming to a man exactly when he had to. William Cowper, we know as one of the great hymn writers, he ends up at Olney with John Newton. They wrote scores of wonderful hymns. William Cowper, before he got saved, found himself in an insane asylum. One day he was meeting with one of the men and they were trying to talk him through it, and he was trying to find ways to end his life. And William Cowper, at that moment, as he was talking to that counselor there, he said, "Oh, that there were a fountain. Oh, that there were a fountain." And you find that next morning he got up and he made his way over to a little windowsill where he said he found the Bible, and he turned over to the book of Romans where he found out God had died for the likes of him. On down the road, after God had saved him, he penned the words, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein." I was struck particularly about this. I was struck particularly about this during those moments where Cowper had gone crazy. He said in his own testimony he developed a lisp and a stutter that he carried to the grave. But in that wonderful hymn he said, "When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, oh, thank God there is a fountain. There is a fountain. There is a fountain." And I'm glad, thank God, it came to where I was one day. Well-timed help. Well-timed help. I wonder this morning who all I may be speaking to. You found yourself in the exact same place as these men. You were lost. You were away from God. We're not looking for Him. But do you remember, thank God, when well-timed help showed up at your doorstep? He said that we might find mercy. Listen at this. "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I love what Kent Hughes said as the New Testament is beginning to unfold. Kent Hughes said, "The prophetic eastern sky had assumed a pre-dawn glow, and in a moment, messianic fulfillment would light the Jewish landscape. Jesus has now showed up on the scene. And what in the Old Testament could have never been thought of, every last one of us are now invited, because the veil of the temple has been rent and twain from top to bottom. Now he says, let us, the people of God, come with confidence into the throne room that we might find mercy and grace to help in time of need." There is help that is biblical. But then here's where I want to get to for just a moment. There is help that is binding. Because the truth is, in this verse 16, help in the Bible is mentioned 126 times. But the help that is mentioned in verse 16 here is the word boethia. It is a nautical term that is only mentioned one other place in Scripture, in Acts 27. And this word boethia is the nautical term that in Acts 27, Paul is with those men in the storm. And the Bible says they let out the helps. That nautical term that is used here is they carried chains on the board of the ship. And when the ship would get it in a storm and the waves were tossing, They would throw over about five or more of those chains. It would run underneath the whole hull. Somebody would go over on this side and fish it out and bring it to the other side, and they would completely wrap the boat about five times. As the Hebrew writer brings us to this 16th verse, he is reminding every one of us that this help that is available, it'll not only save you from hell, but it'll save you on the sea of life. This help that he mentions here is a help that is binding. He says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." This is the literal picture that he is giving us. If you could picture somehow that we are all in a ship this morning, and we have found ourselves in a storm. The winds are contrary. The day is dark. The water is coming over the sides, and it looks like we're going to go down. The Hebrew writer simply says that the mercy of God goes to wrapping around our lives and keeps us from going down. The grace of God, he says then, goes to wrapping around our lives and keeps us from going down. I'm going to confess to you this morning, there's been some recent days and some recent months that'll toss us and sometimes cause us discouragement, sometimes cause us tears. But I'm glad, thank God, Brother Steve, I've found out that when the night is dark and then when the waves are contrary, the grace of our Lord goes to wrapping us up. He goes to pulling us close to his side. Because without him this morning, you and I will fall completely apart. I was reading just this morning in Mark chapter number 6. Jesus had sent the disciples out on the sea. In verse number 47, it says they were in the midst of the sea and he alone on the land. And then verse 48, it looks like they're so far away they can't see him, no doubt. But in verse 48 it says, "And he saw them toiling and rowing." I'm telling you this morning, you cannot go so far that he cannot see you. The night will never get so dark, dear friend, that he don't know where you're at. You'll never find yourself in a place that he won't come to where you are. And when he gets there, mercy and grace will wrap us up and give us help in time of need. What it literally means is he'll keep you from falling apart when you feel like falling apart. He'll keep you from just splintering to pieces when you feel like splintering to pieces. I'm going to end with this quote from Spurgeon. He said, "Let us review, I say, our own diaries. Have you had no deliverances? Have you passed through no rivers supported by the divine presence? Have you walked through no fires unharmed? Have you not been saved from troubles?" If you can testify that this morning, there is no doubt in my heart it's because of this. We've been invited. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. What do you find when you get there? He could have spoken to us judge-wise. He could have spoken to us almighty-wise. But he has spoken to us son-wise. You'll find mercy. You'll find grace. What'll it do? It'll help you when you feel like you're falling apart.